Yes, indeed, boys and girls. It's been a long weekend of sports scores and highlights here. Glad to be with you on the Sunday evening. This is Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here, and as always, thanks for tuning in. Yes, indeed, boys and girls. Hopefully, we'll give you some sports news that you can't get enough of. Let's get into the extravaganza there. Consider giving another week, but, you know, the Lions said, forget all of that. Jameson Williams, he said he looked too good to ignore. Williams, the Detroit Lions rookie receiver, made his NFL debut against the Jacksonville Jaguars after the Lions activated him from the non-football injury list on Saturday afternoon. Williams had not played after tearing his cruciate ligament in his knee since January the 10th in his final college game at Alabama. However, yes, it was a buzz surrounding the game when it took off. And after it was announced that Jameson Williams would make his NFL debut, it really got buzzy at Ford Field. And on the second play of the game, when the Lions received the ball, because the Lions did defer to Jacksonville, they got them three and out. Or in this case, had a lot to do. Jameson Williams on the second play came on out on the field with a big, huge roar from the crowd at Ford Field. Jameson Williams found himself blocking one of the cornerbacks for the Jacksonville Jaguars. After that, he was pulled out. He was put in for one more play during the duration of the game this afternoon, around about the fourth quarter, and they threw a pass to him, which was incomplete. But however, having gone 3-1 in November, the Detroit started December very impressively, putting together multiple scoring drives early to gain early momentum against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, Detroit took advantage of his strength offensively on the way to a 40-14 home victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, indeed. The Lions are firmly in the wild card hunt with five games left to play, boys and girls. And I will say this, the Lions did look very impressively offensively and defensively. That kind of nourishment has to continue to keep up for the Detroit Lions because they're going to get better and better opponents. Next week, Minnesota is in the house after a three-game homestand that started off Thanksgiving when Buffalo came into town, and they almost beat them, but a setback in that particular game, and Buffalo ended up winning with the time remaining going out of the woods, winning that game by 3 points, and that was done. However, four out of five games for Detroit winning is something this town has not seen in a good while there. And right now, people are excited, and well, they should, that they now are seeing a productive team, a young team, productive team, coming together and making things very, very competitive for everybody concerned there. Congratulations to the Lions on their victory today. Again, Minnesota will be in the house next weekend. For the first time in 30 years, Michigan captured back-to-back Big Ten titles. Purdue was put in a spirited fight, and they put up a spirited fight, by the way, there. However, the Wolverines eventually prevailed with a 43-22 victory in Indianapolis to win the second straight outright Big Ten championship. It's something that Michigan hadn't accomplished since 1991 and 1992 season. With the win, Michigan was assured to get a spot in the CFP, the college football playoff, and likely number two seeded, as Michigan was. Georgia also took care of business. Now, on the other hand, there were some changes made because TCU and USC did lose. However, this afternoon, Michigan learned that they'll be taking on TCU in one of the football game playoff semifinals. Wolverines and Horned Frogs will square off at the Fiesta Bowl at 4 p.m. on December 31st, New Year's Eve, boys and girls, with the winner playing Georgia. And guess what, boys and girls? Ohio State, which moved up after a week off there. They'll be playing the winners of both those games, by the way, will be in the national championship game on January the 9th. Whoopee! And I was very shocked to see Ohio State getting moved in there. Someone said, Alabama. No way. Oh, boy. Toledo Rockets were in town yesterday with the MAC Conference Championship at Ford Field. And DeJuan Finn did himself well. DeJuan Finn from Martin Luther King High School and here in the greater Detroit area there did his team very, very proud then. Toledo beat the Ohio Bobcats by a final score of 17-7. Finn, he attempted 16 passes. And he completed 16 passes out of 25 attempts and hit one touchdown, had one interception, but did his team, Toledo, very, very well. I have not gotten the scoreboard on where Toledo will be playing any type of bowl game. I will have all the information on all the bowl games on Wednesday's show, Butch on Sports. I know you can't wait to hear it. Neither can I. Bowl games that you never thought. Of course, this might get thrown around because we got another 2 years before the NCAA Division I will have playoffs. And right now, it looks like 12 teams will be invited in this playoff extravaganza. I know some major stations are saying that's too many teams. Too bad. I wish there were more. Personally speaking here, really, personally speaking, because enough is enough. When a team like Appalachian State can beat the crap out of you, and again, let's look at Jackson State, where Deion Sanders, we'll get to that story a little bit later on, was coaching, don't get some type of consideration of playing a major team. It's kind of, I would say Division I is very watered down. And very political. But that's just me, huh? By the way, I do have one of the bowl games here. Bowling Green State University and New Mexico State University will be playing in the 2022 Quick Lane Bowl at Ford Field. That's on Monday, December 26th at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. That game will be aired nationally on ESPN. Oh, my. Now, speaking of Deion Sanders is headed for the Pac-12 there. Sanders informed his team, Jackson State, on Saturday night that he has agreed to become the next football coach at Colorado. After Sanders told his players at Jackson State University, Colorado made their news official. They flew him on in, and he was in Colorado early Sunday morning there. Walking on the field, there were a number of highly qualified and impressive candidates of interest to become the next football head coach at Colorado, but none of them had the pedigree and the knowledge and the ability to connect with student athletes like Deion Sanders. Colorado's athletic director, Rick George, said that not only will be have prime time energizing our fan base, I am confident he will lead our program back to national prominence while leading a team of high quality and high character. He did that very well there at Jackson State, there, University. They're going to miss a very good coach there. Well, the USA is no more, as they're probably on the plane and maybe be home by now there, but the Netherlands huddled on up and got a 3-1 victory over the United States, eventually putting them off the grass and on their way home here, boys and girls, and something that they don't want to deal with. Now, the other rounds of 16 there, the Netherlands Argentina, they both won their games. They'll be meeting in the quarterfinals. And today, France and England play. England 3-0 over Senegal, and France over Poland 3-1. So they will meet in the quarterfinals. Now, games remaining there will be Japan at Croatia, and Brazil at South Korea. That'll be tomorrow, and I'm quite sure Tuesday. We'll have Spain be playing, also Portugal be playing as well, Sweden be playing. A lot of teams there. We'll all have all that straightened out for, again, on our Wednesday show of when these quarterfinals are going to take place and who are all officially going to be in them. Yes, indeed, boys and girls. I won't send you packing. I'll tell you the whole story. The Detroit Red Wings showed again their willingness to keep fighting Saturday night, capping off a 5-game streak at Little Caesars Arena, which they've been home by hosting the Las Vegas Golden Knights. However, the Wings, they lost and were very, very embarrassed, resulting in a 4-1 loss. Left them on a 3-game skid. However, tonight they were in Columbus, and the Red Wings shot back to life there. Wings beat the Columbus Blue Jackets by a final score of 4-2 in Columbus there. So they're back in the playoff conversation. Talking about the Red Wings, that is. Pistons played tonight at home during 6 o'clock hour this evening here. They played Memphis, but sad to say, the Pistons lose to Memphis by a final score of 122-112. Fitting, but there you go. Give you some baseball news here. Matthew Boyd is going to be returning to the Detroit Tigers. Boyd, left-handed pitcher, agreed to a $10 million contract, a one-year, and I guess they have a connected two-year if he pans out and Detroit has a right to maybe pick that up and maybe Boyd getting more money. That happened on Thursday with the sources' knowledge to the situation that I know of there. And that means that was a pretty good deal there, indeed, and pretty good sources that I have there. Depending on the deal and a physical, of course, including a $1 million performance bonus, the club has not confirmed the signing. That will probably be confirmed tomorrow on Monday. We'll give you that news on, again, Wednesday of the confirmation after the physical and all the other stuff. Boyd is 31 years old. Previously, he pitched for the Tigers from 2015 to 2021, earning the nod on opening day in 2020 and 2021 after 2021 season. The Tigers non-tendered Boyd, making him the first time he was a free agent. Rather than to pay him the $7.3 million in salary arbitration, they let him be a free agent, and away he went. And he's now back in the city of Detroit. Hooray, hip, hip, hooray. Hopefully he's good. The Hall of Fame and all of baseball lost a doggone good player during the time of me watching this particular individual. Gaylord Perry, he passed away on Thursday. He was 84 years old. Perry died from natural causes about 5 a.m. on Thursday at his home in Gaffney, South Carolina. A coroner told Associated Press that particular situation and information. He played in Major League Baseball for 22 years. He pitched 5,350 innings for 8 teams from 1962 to 1983. He was a 5-time All-Star. Perry was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1991. He won the Cy Young Award with Cleveland in 1972 and also with San Diego in 1978 after turning 40 years old. He became the first pitcher to win the award in both leagues. Talk about Verlander, this was the first one to do it there. I remember Gaylord Perry very well with the sneaky ways he used to put spit on the ball, grease on the ball. He had some some wood and stuff that he was shaved the baseball in certain kind of way out of the sight and mind of the umpires who were watching the game. Oh, boy. He did a whole lot of things that give everyone the perception that he was doctoring the baseball. And later on in his livelihood, he immediately said, yes, he did. But I remember that very well. But this guy was a competitor, a great pitcher. Again, Gaylord Perry, Thursday he passed away. He's 84 years old. Michigan, University of Michigan basketball team was over in across the pond in London there as number 19 Kentucky played the University of Michigan. University of Michigan made it a very good sporting game, as I would say when I was living back there in England. But 73-69 victory, not for them, but for Kentucky on Sunday at the O2 Arena, showcased the two marquee American college sports teams there. They'll be coming back from the over the pond, back over here in the States, and closely getting ready for the Big Ten season and for Kentucky, the Southeastern Conference League Series as well there. Oh, boy. I talked about the World Cup. And I tell you, there was a lot of hyping up there, and it well it should. You know, if you would talk about soccer, this is what we call it in America, versus football around the world, football, it's not something that we would just say we would look at if the Lions, the Red Wings, the Pistons, or something else was on the air there. I think we gave more credit to skiing and whatnot than we gave to soccer. But right now, Fox has done a pretty good job of geeking up. And as I was telling, and I have been saying on many shows that I've done here and others that I've been a part of being a guest on, is something that United States of America has to invest some money in these youth programs around the country. Have they done a better job than they had in the past? Yes, they have. More needs to be done. And this is especially when some of these cities have Major League Soccer teams there and more camps need to be given for these kids, especially in the urban areas there. I see a lot of urban kids getting into soccer where it was just not the given for an urban kid to play soccer or hockey or play tennis. A lot of that myth and stupidity has, you know, hopefully gone by the wayside where you give a child an opportunity to play the sport of their given choice there. So, hip hip hooray for that there. I really, really, hopefully that they really build up a very good program in the United States. Again, for especially urban cities around this country here. It's kids who want to play, and they get the good coaching and skills being fed on them, and that's including some of the professional teams. I know Detroit has a professional soccer team here, transplanted in Hamtramck. They have done a yeoman good job. I know there were some indoor soccer teams that Detroit had developed in the past, who's given camps and whatnot there for kids. But that was mostly in suburban areas, but not in the greater Detroit area. And we're talking about indoor soccer there. But I see now, hopefully, schools and gym teachers and, again, the league alike of a United States Soccer Affiliation or Federation there, invest some time and some effort to get the tools to some of the schools, public schools as well as private, to allow kids to join in. This is girls and boys alike to join into the game of soccer and get better at it. I think the United States has done a better job with the girls being recruited for soccer and camps for soccer than they have the boys. But that, again, hopefully that improves there. Okay, and finally, yesterday, during one of the games, the Southeast Conference game in Atlanta, it's normally a yearly ritual that they have the Dr. Pepper Challenge. Yes, two students from the schools that are participating in the Southeast Championship game, and this is in Atlanta this year, of course, gets a chance to throw footballs in a giant can to win tuition money. And, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at here, boys and girls. We're talking about $100,000 in tuition. And here we have two kids, Reagan Whitaker from Baylor and Kaylee Gibson of the University of St. Augustine, who did battle at this particular Dr. Pepper Southeast Championship game in Atlanta. Again, at the end of the initial allotted time, Reagan and Kaylee were both tied. So they went into overtime, 15 seconds throw off. However, they were tied after that. So they had another throw off, right? Nope. It seemed that Kirby Smart or Brian Kelly see things in the tunnel, but they said, so what? So they had 10 seconds double overtime here. Make them play quarters or have a dance-off or drink 23 Dr. Peppers. I don't know what the heck they kind of thought of here. But they determined doing whatever they did in the tunnel that Reagan Whitaker won the challenge. When the crowd heard about that, social media got involved, and the phones just jumped in. I don't know what kind of action, but they said hashtag justice for Kaylee. Hit the Twitter as soon as the results were announced. And apparently Dr. Pepper got a hold to the outcry on social media. And as it was announced later in the broadcast of the game, that both contestants will be awarded $100,000 in tuition money. Justice was swift from social media. Congratulations to both those participants. That something was fun meant a whole heck of a lot. $100,000. It's a lot of chewing gum, a lot of meals, a lot of books, a lot of not being in debt after you graduate out of school. Think about it if you got nothing else to do. Yes, Butch on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Production. Check out Butch on Sports on Facebook. Always on Facebook, boys and girls. You can also check out on the main page at Podomatic.com. Type in SimplyButtoO .podomatic.com. You can also go to the Game Sports Show on the Game Sports Show .podbean.com also, and other formidable platforms like Apple TV and stuff like that there to get Butch on Sports. I am done for tonight, boys and girls. It's getting late after a long day watching the Detroit Lions, the Detroit Pistons, riding home, beating traffic, getting the show together, and now I can take a break. Hey, until Wednesday, check me out on Butch on Sports. Thanks for listening to me. Tell your friends about Butch on Sports. And again, we'll be back on Wednesday with another exciting show. So, hey, have a great beginning of the week, boys and girls, ladies and gents.